Welcome to Hormone Health Podcast, your go-to naturopaths for all things hormones.
Thanks for joining us as we dive into the latest research, chat with top experts, and hear real stories from people just like you.
Science, stories, maybe a bit of swearing, but straight up hormone chat. Let's get into it. Welcome back to the 2025 Hormone Health Podcast edition. Hi, Georgia.
Woo-hoo-hoo. We did take a little hiatus without mentioning it.
No, we were just a little bit busy.
You know, when you get to that point in pregnancy where you just kind of are a bit over everything and you just need to turn inwards a little bit. So we may have hit that phase, but we are at the other side, and I'm excited to talk to you today about your birth of little baby Olive.
I know we were busy building the girl gang.
Yeah, there were so many girls between Olive and Lottie and
Kelly's
Izzy.
Baby.
Yep, Izzy. Lots of girls, and TK's now pregnant. Well, she's actually just about to head on maternity.
She doesn't know what she's boy or girl.
What do you think?
Oh.
Are you good at this?
Yeah. It's a 50-50 chance, so I feel like...
What a surprise. Stats already, Chloe. Into the episode.
Except less huffing and puffing from me last time.
Yes, I cannot confirm that I will be less huffing and puffing, but the difference with me this time around is that I have made a real conscious effort to stabilize my blood sugar levels before these podcast episodes, which is great. I don't know if we ever shared that incident that I had.
What, the gorging on chocolate and then you having hyperglycemic and really fainting?
Did we ever talk about that?
I can't really remember, but...
That was gnarly.
I was going to say funny, but...
So what happened, I don't even remember who we were talking to, but literally mid-podcast episode, I just took my headset off and removed myself without saying anything.
I think you took your jumper off and you were getting really sweaty and hot.
I got real dizzy. My ears started ringing. And so I just, you know, our guest was mid-sentence, so I didn't want to interrupt her. So I just took my headset off and quickly removed myself. And she...
I think the guest said, is she okay?
Is she okay?
Yeah.
Chloe didn't even bat an eyelid.
She's all good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Chloe was like, it's okay. As you were saying.
Hang on, what was that point about? Don't mind her.
I just felt, yeah, that was bad. So anyway, I'm not going to be gorging so much on chocolate pre-podcast episode this year.
Be doing the huffing and puffing in the later pregnancy
stage. Certainly won't be getting pregnant, no. So you might.
Well,
hard to say. Let's not wish the world
away.
Let's
not rule anything out. The goal of the podcast this year is to, again, have some amazing guest speakers, have some deep dives into some really specific topics, endometriosis, perimenopause, things that you guys want to hear. We also want to have some real conversations. For example, hear about George's third birth story, talk about my birth story, have some, you know, some conversations from real people talking about their real lived health experiences. Anything else that you want to add to that?
No, that good. Good, yeah, good, good,
good. You did good, pig.
Q&A's, I don't know, it's great. The feedback we've got from this podcast is it's really nice for people to learn more about what's happening in their body. So our role is to really educate and share real life stories. So I'm super excited for that this year.
With an element of funny,
coffee.
Engagement, yep. Coffee, all of those things. You know, we don't want to be dry. We want to be,
moist.
Moist, yeah. We want to be...
Anyway, let's get into today's episode, Chloe.
Okay, I have been taking some notes just because I feel like what we're talking about today is my positive cesarean birth story. And at the time, it feels like, oh my gosh, I will never forget what happened here. But then as things happen and you know, you're raising your child, you forget those little small things. And so I think... what I've done is made some dot points in my phone for talking points, because I can't actually, I find it hard to sort of recall the details.
Totally. It's funny how you can't, yeah, and they say this, that you kind of forget.
Yeah, I was like, I'll do it again. Heck yeah.
Whereas the bits that I remember from your birth story, I'm like, I can't believe, I'm excited to see you perceive this as a really positive experience. Can I say that?
Well, I think the thing here is that people's birth experiences, it like at the time, it's not just one sort of this is positive. Mm-hmm. I think it can ebb and flow as you sort of process things. But for me to put the word positive on this birth story, I think is about perspective,
mm-hmm.
and it's about, you know, my sort of headspace and my own personal experience, which again may not be positive for somebody else, but looking back on it, I would say it's positive.
Great. Well, this month, the month of April, is Caesarean Awareness Month, so this is the perfect topic to be talking about. So, Chloe, congratulations on the birth of your baby girl, who I thought was going to be a boy. I was really certain. I'm not good at this. Tell us about the birth of Olive.
Let me just get my notes on.
Are you going to cry?
I was actually going to say, I already feel coming into this podcast like I'm like holding myself like a wall up.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm so used to talking matter of fact and just being like, yep, induction, birth. And I think it's a reminder for this podcast that I just need to be honest and I need to be open. And if I'm feeling emotional or like feel it and not just be blah, 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 which I have a tendency to do, talk matter of fact. And so I guess, okay, where can we start? So I hated mat leave. And I think that you maybe suspected that I was going to hate it.
How far along were you when you went on mat leave?
I think it was 38 weeks.
38 weeks.
Yeah. As this time last year. And so it was, yeah, I was actually on mat leave this time last year. It was around Easter, but it wasn't that time when Will was on holidays. I was at home and I hated that time between finishing up work and waiting for her to be born. And I know a lot of people say, you just enjoy it. This is going to be the only time that you'll get before you, you know, you have kids and, you know, watch TV. I've been doing that for years. Like, I think the thing is when you try a long time to fall pregnant, you just want your baby here. And so for me, I was really struggling with the waiting and, you know, getting in my head about, why do so many obstetricians want to have their women induced at 39 weeks? Why do they want to have them go no later than 41 weeks? Like, why are these professionals saying this? And getting in my head, like, am I doing something dangerous, when I knew I wasn't? But you know how you just get in your head about, oh, my baby is here. I want them. I want to see them. I want to know that they're healthy. I want to know that they're well. Probably didn't help that I started to watch Game of Thrones on mat leave as well. You know, a bit of sex and war and incest. Just to calm the nervous system right down, get
you in the right headspace for birth. But I think also when you've experienced recurrent pregnancy loss, like, is there any other way you're going to be feeling at that stage of pregnancy, you know?
I remember going to the beach to be like, okay, today, mat leave, I'm going to, you know, life is what you make it. I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to get myself a coffee. I'm going to enjoy this.
Sing that song.
And I drove myself to the beach with this big basketball belly and I went up and, you know, walking for me was tough at that time because I had so much pelvic pain. I was like, no, go and order your coffee. I was like, just a soy iced coffee, please. She's like, yep, no problem. Went to pay, left my phone in the car, nearly cried.
I would have.
Nearly cried. I said, can you just make it for me? I'll be back. Came back puffing, paid for it, sat down, was looking out at the water, just burst into tears. Called my mum. She's like, what's wrong? I was like, I'm so fucking lonely. Like, I've never been more like with somebody, yet I was so lonely and I was so terrified. Anyway, so I think, and as well, looking back on it, people say that those emotions do come up before. Anyway, so I was having acupuncture, I was doing all those things, and I went and had, I was a part of the midwifery group program here in Newcastle. Loved my midwives, but I went to the hospital to have my 41 week scan, my CTG monitoring.
So you got to 41 weeks.
Went to still, 41 weeks. Yep. There was no sign apart from the emotions that anything was happening. And yeah, had my monitoring up at the hospital and they couldn't find a baseline of Olive's heart rate. She was almost in this like active stage for 5+ hours. And already at that time, I could sense that there was like a heightened worry. I had what was supposed to only be a half an hour appointment. I was at the hospital for 6 hours. I had several doctors come in to sort of review. I had a few midwives come in to sort of review the CTG monitoring. They're just saying, we just need her to calm down just so that we can get... I still don't really understand it, but maybe we can ask Asha what was going on there and why she was so active. I had like a whole liter of IV fluids because they thought potentially dehydration. Anyway, I had the doctor come in and say, your baby is, you know, the whole spiel. Well-cooked, big baby. Let's get the induction process happening. And I really didn't want to be induced. Already in my head's mindset, I wanted to avoid induction. And for that reason, which I probably retrospectively shouldn't have, I didn't let myself learn too much about the whole induction process or cesarean process, because it's like, if you know that you're going to go to a restaurant and you're ordering the schnitzel, you don't look at the other sort of items on the menu. You're getting schnitzel. Chef comes out. Sorry, no schnitzel today. Great.
Cry.
What the fuck am I going to have? Oh, I'll have the induction salad.
Yeah. An analogy I just didn't think was to present itself, but I like it.
Yeah. So anyway, went home, cried,
So they sent you home.
They sent me home, bags packed. Oh, I forgot to add, on the way home, Will and I went to Rascal's Burger and I absolutely gorged myself on the biggest burger, loaded tater tots and a full milkshake. There is a photo of me which we can post and I look like Homer Simpson in a Momo.
Please.
So why would Will, like, I was actually...
He did it too, didn't he?
I was...
He would have ordered exactly the same thing.
Little baby was starving. I was sweating like trans fats at this point. I don't know why Will thought it would be a good idea to take a photo of me. Anyway, that's a really great memory to look back on. That night, went home, made sure that I put all of my anger out on Will to hang the blockout blinds.
Mm-hmm.
He had to do it. Anyway, bags packed, went up to the hospital the next day, started the induction process. And already I was feeling angst. And I felt like as soon as I was put in that ward, there's four people in the ward, as you'd know, I felt like it's a competition, me versus her. I was like, hi. She's like, hi. I was like, how far along? She's like, blah, blah, whatever. In my head, I'm like, it's a competition. Who's going to go first?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of didn't want to be friends with her because I felt we're enemies.
Totally. You're going to win. You know, let's not get too friendly. I don't want to make her more upset than what she's going to be.
Other people like, this could be a mum friend. We could check. I was like, no, me versus her.
We're on.
Whose water's going to break first? I will go. Again, Game of Thrones headspace.
Mm-hmm.
We both had the Cervidil gel inserted at the same time. She went for a walk. As she was walking up the stairs, her waters broke. I was like, fucking close the curtains, Will. We are not. I'm not.
Get me some stairs.
Yeah, I'm not. Anyway, I did walk as well. She went into labor.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hear from her.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she listened to this podcast.
As in she's fine. As in she's definitely fine. But she went on to have her baby and nothing was happening for me. I was like, Cervidil, I could have four of them for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Do nothing. So I had a stretch and sweep, which was painful. Again, had that. And in my head, I was like, if I can't even manage a finger, how the heck am I going to push out a baby? This is all playing into my confidence being able to birth. It's really hard to explain that to Will. I think just in terms of for him to understand how I was feeling and every micro intervention, my confidence was reducing. And so that night I had nothing really happened with the Cervidil, the stretch and sweep, as you were saying with your sourdough.
Which is that's all I thought about when you said stretch and sweep was like sourdough. Just for context, when Chloe came over this morning, I was like, oh, I just need to do a stretch and sweep of my sourdough. And then quickly caught myself because it's called a stretch and fold. But when I first told Stephen it was called a stretch and fold, he called it a stretch and sweep. So now that's what comes out naturally. And I have to catch myself before I say it in front of anyone else that isn't Stephen. Anyway.
And so, yeah, that Will had to go home that night. And I was waiting for the balloon dilation, the balloon catheter, which if anybody knows, I think it's maybe 60 or 90 mil of water either side of the cervix. That was incredibly painful. In terms of my whole birthing experience, I would say that was the one point that I really didn't like. That was no medication, no pain medication. It was happening at midnight, really, really painful. The one midwife that did it, she said, "Oh, sorry, I can't do it. My tiny little fingers." I was like, "Oh my God, send in the big guy, the doctor." With his long phalanges, awesome. So that happened, and that probably I had that balloon catheter done at midnight, and I didn't get to sleep the next morning. I didn't get to sleep until 3 a.m. and I had to have endone. So, and then woken up, Will was there, like by my bedside in the morning. And
bless him, at what time?
At 6 a.m. Game day.
I love Will.
He was ready to go.
Had his joggers on
and I was endone out. I was like, but this was probably about 7 a.m. and one of the midwives came down and said, "You're ready to have your baby today." And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was actually Will and I's second wedding anniversary. So the date was really special.
And so hang on, you had been in hospital now for 24 hours.
Yeah. Yep. Since the next day. Yep. And I was already, and that night I was listening to all the induction podcasts, just to get an understanding of what's happening. And I already knew in my head, there's a meta-analysis, like massive study done on the cascade of interventions and talking about, okay, if you have just Cervidil, then this is the likelihood that you'll have a vaginal birth. But if you have balloon catheter, it increases to this. Already I knew that with these two interventions, and if I have an epidural, I'm at a 60% rate of having a cesarean. So in my head, I was like, the stats aren't friendly to me. But I gave it a red hot crack, and the next morning we started the drip. And we were playing Uno. Next minute I was naked, like not naked, but it was like, you know, you, as anybody who has had the Syntocin, you'll know that it's zero to none, a zero to everything. And it was almost like happily playing Uno with Will. Next minute I'm like in a big, like, you know, nappy, laboring, and they were back to back and they were extremely painful. I had my waters broken at the start of that as well. And I don't know if I like jump to it, but I was laboring from the time that I had my waters broken to the end before I had her, I was laboring for 17 hours. And that was pretty much just like back to back contractions. And I was just having gas and TENS machine, but I don't think I had gas for a little bit because I really wanted to use that as like my last resort for the pain. So I will, like the most repeated word that I said through my whole labor was surge, as in surge the TENS machine. So that was awesome.
Through, I could just picture it. I could picture Will going.
Yeah, I was like, surge. Will had the little like.
Mini. So what did he do whenever there was?
I can't even remember him.
Really?
Yeah. To be honest, I can't remember. I was just like, what do the horses wear? Like the little. Eye things.
I know, I'll ask them next time.
Oh, yeah, good.
Talk to one. I have no idea.
Blinkers. Yeah, I had my blinkers on. Okay, you had your blinkers on. Yeah, I had my blinkers on. I thought that was
related to cars, but that's related to horses?
Yeah. It's the little things that they wear. Actually, now that I think
about it, why would it be related to cars?
Indicator.
Yeah.
I have my indicators on. Anyway, this labouring, I ended up asking them to check me because at this point I was so exhausted. I hadn't eaten. I was running off 3 hours of sleep.
Hang on, what time of day was this?
Who knows? Like maybe in the afternoon.
Afternoon, okay. So we're like...
Will's back was hurting.
Oh, don't. Don't. Can't wait to talk about Stephen's thumb in my bird story.
Anyway, so I said, I'm going to need a check. And I was about 6 centimetres dilated. And then at this point, I ended up opting for an epidural. And so... Again, if anyone has experienced this, it's really interesting that when you're in the thick of labor, you have an anaesthetist come to you and say, okay, you have a 1 in 20 chance of having severe migraine. Yep, no problem. Like I'd lose an arm right now to like get some pain relief. And trying to stay still when you're getting an epidural is, I think I had like 4 people holding me down.
Because you're still having these back-to-back contractions.
Back-to-back contractions. So... Anyway, had the epidural and it was probably about 15 minutes in and I was like, when's it supposed to work? Didn't work. So I had one side, which was fine, but my other side was contracting pretty full on. During this time, they're getting me into spinning babies positions and trying to get her because they did an ultrasound of Olive whilst I was laboring. She was transverse. So she was not in the right position. She was just like, and the whole point of the epidural was to help my pelvic floor relax, but she was just all arms and legs.
And was she head down before you went into labor?
Yeah, she was in the right way, but then she went posterior and then she just like transverse and just not
flapping around in there.
She was not. And like, it makes sense. Like, she wasn't ready. And, you know, having the balloon catheter, like speaking to my midwife about it now, that balloon catheter makes, you know, it's something there that reduces the cavity space. And so she isn't going to be in her typical position. And then at that point I was like, let's get her out. And it was almost like my midwives were saying, oh, okay, we're waiting for you to say it, because they could just hear me. I was so exhausted. And looking back on it, I'm really proud of myself for how hard I tried. And I know that I gave it a really red hot crack, but you just get exhausted.
Totally.
And it's just like, how much more can I do from this? And then I'm like running off nothing at the moment. Everyone's running off nothing. And so this is the whole sort of quote unquote positiveness of my birth story, is that although it was, yes, an emergency cesarean, there was nothing emergency about it. It was pack your bags, chill in the bed. I still was having contractions even with an epidural, but it was like, okay, when the operating theatre is ready, we'll get you in. And everyone was really polite and friendly to me. Yes, it was 4 a.m. or whatever time in the morning, but everyone was like, okay.
So almost 48 hours later.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And I wasn't feeling too upset about it, because it's almost like, you know, you run a marathon and then you just sort of like, I'm so close, just get me there. And I was ready to meet Olive. Everyone kept saying to me, are you ready to meet your baby? And I was like, yes, I'm so ready. Like, I've tried everything. Let's go. I had to have this really disgusting drink before the cesarean. I'm not sure if you had that as well. And it made me vomit throughout my whole cesarean. I think potentially because I was eating some lolly snakes in the lead up. They didn't want me to have anything in my stomach. I'll have to, again, ask Asha or a midwife about exactly what that drink is. Is it something to induce vomiting so that you're not at risk of choking?
We should get this. So people that don't know who Asha is that we've mentioned, Asha is one of our naturopaths who is also a midwife. So any birthing questions, we are Asha. Always like, hey, Asha, quick question.
So once I went in, it's so funny because you're in your like dark, dim birthing suite with your, you know, Norah Jones playing, like the lights going, and you rock into this like operating theater and they're like, you ready to have your baby? Yeah, let's go. Like the radio playing. I didn't mind it. I find comfort in other people's comfort. So for example, if I'm on a plane and there's turbulence, I look to the air hostesses. If, you know, whatever, that's for me. I didn't mind that I was coming into their environment because this is their, you know, this is like their bread and butter. This is what they do every day. I was introduced to the NICU nurse. I was introduced to the anaesthetist. Everyone was really friendly, and I was vomiting all throughout this, unfortunately. You know, when you go to the dentist and they put that thing down your throat to get the saliva, that was me throughout it. But I wasn't like, I'm a vomiter, so I'm okay with that. And anyway, so the cesarean, it's just wild. It's just
super wild.
It is an insane experience. Like, yeah.
It's just wild that you're awake for it.
Oh my gosh. It is incredible. Like, yeah, I had a spinal block as well because the epidural wasn't working, but I was just so, again, really focused on meeting Olive and making sure that she was okay.
And you know, you're so close now.
So close. And
don't you feel grateful for this? I remember having Rumi and that was an emergency cesarean, and I thought to myself, I reckon I would have died.
Honestly.
If I didn't have access to this.
So the other thing, when it was all happening, so basically a worry of mine, and I want to sort of say something here, that I know not everyone gets this experience or these feelings when their baby is born. For me, I got that feeling of love And I was worried because at that time I only had that synthetic Syntocin, and I was wondering, is that going to have a play into how I'm feeling? As soon as she was here, there's a photo of that I can't even remember exactly at the time, but there's a photo of when they put her on my chest and her and I just stared at each other, and she had these big dark black eyes, and I was like, she's mine. And I just like, and I, it was just so, it was almost like as if I couldn't hear anything, and it was just like, it was like a love story, which is really special.
So beautiful. And after such hard work to get there, it's like, this is who it was this whole time. And you didn't know that you were having a girl.
No, I didn't. I didn't know. And I Will and I were just like, when I saw her, it made me such a softie.
Mm.
And it was almost like my, like a cartoon, like my heart just was pulled out of my chest and was like thumping in the air. And I was like, she is mine. The world is perfect. Everything's happy. I don't even care. Like if I gave, you know, whatever was happening around me, it was just her and I, and she just looks so familiar to me. And I think that was just one of the greatest feelings in the whole wide world, regardless of, you know, what had led up to that time and all that, those experiences that I, all those feelings that I had in mat leave. I just wanted her to be here. And she was here after all this time, and it was a girl. And I knew from the minute I saw her that she was my Olive. And yeah, so after so that was beautiful. Just a bit of a blur. I was in recovery. This is again the blur of what happens. And you know, some people say that they really don't like being in hospital, like in that recovery. I was like, chalky milk on call, cheese and biscuits. I was so freaking high on oxytocin that I was saying to Will, probably on the like pain medication as well, but I was like, this is the best damn steamed pumpkin I've had in my whole life. Everything was just shaded with love.
I think too, it's not just the 48 hours that it took to get there. It's not just the 9 months of the pregnancy. For you, years. Like, and it was Olive all along.
It was her all along. And I was so ready.
So that pumpkin would have tasted absolutely delicious.
I went home and tried to make it again. I was like, it's just fucking steamed pumpkin. I was like, why is it so good at hospital? What do they put in it? But I think we'll probably have to dedicate a separate podcast to Olive's feeding and weight issues.
Mm.
But those first few weeks with her and being at home for me was a really great experience, and maybe that's why my birth story is for me positive, even though there's aspects of it, but I can see and totally understand the medical reasonings for it, and why that had to happen. And not at any point do I feel like I wasn't heard or listened to, or that I wasn't asked whether or not I consent. Throughout the whole experience, my consent was paramount. And looking back again on my laboring, I was proud of myself for what I was doing. And I said to Will, I don't even care that I'm going to share this on the podcast because it's funny. But I said to Will, I was like, I didn't even poo myself. He's like, no, but you have hemorrhoids and you did do some fart. Thanks, Will.
Oh, we need a whole podcast episode on hemorrhoids. I've moved on from hemorrhoids, but that was a big part of my life.
I was like, how about don't look there? And how about just tell me that you also, you
totally.
Know,
say party great end. Job. Yeah. Great job, Chloe. You're so right. I'm so proud of you.
I don't need
you.
To know that. Anyway, so I really don't want to end that
Isn't
story
that,
on
like,
that.
The least, like, that is so far down the list of things you're thinking about in labour. It's like it can be a worry for some people, and I've certainly heard clients over the years say, like,
I'm that they're concerned, of course.
Yeah. But when you're in it, you just, like, don't care who's here, don't care what's comes. Like, this just has to come out.
Yeah, and there's so much pressure there that naturally I knew things were happening, but, of course, I couldn't see it. But I was like, mate, what are you doing down there? Oh, come up and support me with the fan and the surge.
Poor Will's just like, I don't know where I'm meant to be. What do you mean, surge? She keeps yelling out, surge, I don't know where she wants me.
So yeah, that all in all, I'm super grateful for my midwives. I'm super grateful for the aftercare, for my surgeon, for the obstetrician. Everyone was incredible and amazing. And I feel so lucky to be in Australia that we have access to really great medical care like that. I although, yes, it was a positive cesarean experience, I would love for a second birth to be induction-free at VBAC, if possible. But once you're a parent, I think you realize that birth is, it's, you know, 48 hours, maybe more, maybe less. And then you've got so much more after that.
Mm-hmm.
Your birth doesn't dictate how good of a parent you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's an experience. And of course you try your best and you give it your best go, but you're dealing with a whole another person who, you know, may or may not be working with your body at the time.
And you lean in, like, it, because you don't know how it's going to go. You can do all the things in preparation for it, but wherever you are, lean into that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, why you can have such a positive experience no matter how birth unfolds.
That's the whole point of the Calm Birth program that we did. It's saying no matter how your birth goes, depending on how you look at it, you can frame it in is it positive, is it negative. So all in all, that is my cesarean story. And well,
thank you for sharing. And Olive is just like the cutest little thing that steals bananas. She's like a little monkey.
I was like, are you gonna give Olive some of that banana? Yeah. She's, I feel like she's a Kelpie. She is non-stop go go go, and that's exactly what she was like in my belly. She was just, yeah, she's vivacious, she's full of life, she's got a black eye at the moment because she fell off the couch, like, mm-hmm. she's just go go go, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm also so proud of me.
I am so proud of you. Boom. I am so proud of you.
Thanks, boss. As it is Cesarean Awareness Month, I think it's important for us to share some resources, some websites, some accounts that we follow that share positive or maybe not so positive experience of cesarean birth. I had completed a really great 3-week cesarean scar release program by Bodylane,
yep,
which I highly recommend. You know, there's a lot of additional aftercare from having a cesarean that I think is important. And so I know that you've just recently done a post on your cesarean experience,
mm-hmm.
Things that you've learned, things that to expect. So in the show notes, we'll definitely include some of this, some information and some resources.
In the post I just did on Instagram, there are some tips there. Chewing gum's the biggest one. Did you get the shoulder tip pain when you came out of surgery and recovery?
Well, the thing is, I think that my pain medication was actually okay, but I did have, yeah, it was the gas, and I was like, am I going to burp? Am I going to, like, float away? I felt like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when they go up to the window.
I was not expecting the shoulder tip pain,
yeah,
and it was the most excruciating pain. I thought I was having a heart attack.
It's that gas just trying to get out, yeah, of the body.
Yeah. So anyway, when we had Lauren from One Mama Midwife on the podcast last year, one of her tips to prevent that was to start chewing gum, mm-hmm. As soon as you get in recovery. So yep, that's probably my biggest tip.
She is a great account to follow. She, yeah, absolutely. Again, yep. So all in all, that is my recap. Thank you for listening. Thank you for, you know, again, prefacing that this is my personal experience.
Mm.
What I experience may be completely different to somebody else, but yeah.
Beautiful nonetheless, Chloe.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you have a personal story you'd like to share, or maybe someone you'd like us to interview, reach out.
You can find us on socials or flick us an email at hello@hormonehealthstudio.com.